Rob Parsh.
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSunshine.com.
Dude, where's my office?
I totally lost it. Because I was half-baked, smoking doobies. Doobie Brothers, I was smoking doobies with my brothers. Peace out, Seacrest.
Well, your office is behind you.
Thanks. Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this broadcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the homemade broadcast.
The what podcast?
The homemade broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade broadcast.
The homemade podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here, that homemade.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio StPete.com. My name is Will Coons. Welcome back. How are you? You good? Yes, very good. Very good. I'm great. Tom Friend Brainquility Festival is coming in April 21st down at the, where is it? The Safety Harbor Waterfront Park. I was right there this past weekend. They had some little music festival going on. They had the dude from Rusted Root playing that one song that everybody knows from Matilda, which I went and listened to and then quickly walked away from right after. But yeah, it's right at the waterfront there. It's nice. It's next to the resort and spa. And you can get your tickets at BrainquilityFest.com. Is that the website? I have it pulled up. Yes, BrainquilityFest.com. You got Beats Antique, you got Lettuce, Talk, Voodoo Visionary, MZG, and Sidetracked. I gotta be honest, I don't know who any of those people are. But Tom's gonna tell me about it and the music festival itself, how it got started. He's gonna tell me a little bit about himself and what made him start this festival. So he'll be coming up here very shortly. Phone line's not open, but the voice and text line is open. 813-693-2124. Leave a message. Leave a text. Say who you are in the text so I can, say who you are. And unless it's something mean, then I'd rather just be anonymous. So I want to talk a little bit about this. What's this dude's name? He did the documentary about The Simpsons. The Problem with Apu, it's called. And what's his name? John Levine? No, Hari Kondabolu. That's this person's name. And he's a comedian, apparently. I'm pretty up to date on comedy. I kind of follow a lot of names. I've never heard of this person, but basically he made a documentary where he pointed out that the stereotype of Apu is a problem in today's world. And of course nobody has a problem with Groundskeeper Willie or anything like that, because, well, you know, who knows why. I have my own ideas and speculations, but this guy felt the opportunity to maybe gain some notoriety, explain his point of view and where he was coming from. I did not see the documentary. I grew up a big Simpsons fan, watched it every Sunday. I haven't watched it lately. I heard it's pretty bad. But I haven't had cable in, 10 years. So I don't really watch cable television or, you know, whatever, Fox or whatever the station's on anymore. And I don't like cartoons either. I kind of feel like I grew out of Everyone's telling me to watch that Rick and Morty show. Oh, you'll love it. It's probably pretty good, but I don't know. Something about cartoons I can't get into. I can watch South Park still, barely hanging on. But cartoons just don't do it for me. But I guess The Simpsons decided to address this fellow on one of their... I mean, I guess this is like a year old now at this point, this documentary. They finally decided to reference it on the show. And in a clip from the episode, Marge sanitizes a bedtime story for Lisa, prompting Lisa to point out that the politically correct version is a pretty long and boring and doesn't make any sense. And she says, something that started decades ago and was applauded and inoffensive is now politically incorrect, the character said. What can you do? A portrait of a poo sits in the corner of the screen as she says this. So, of course, the guy was like, oh, that's what you got from this documentary. Jeez, you know, what the hey. But, you know, they finally address it, and they're right. You know, at this time, it was seen as, or when it first came out anyways, it was seen as a Indian-American character getting props when he didn't really see a lot of those at certain points in time in our history. And now it's looked at negatively. Again, nobody points out Groundskeeper Willie for being offensive. But yes, it's very stereotypical. And sometimes, I tried stand-up comedy for a while. I wasn't very good at it. So I don't really do it anymore. Maybe I would like to come back to it in the future, maybe. I'll see. I'm sure you're waiting on your bended knee for that. But I'm a connoisseur. I like funny stuff. I like comedy. And oftentimes, comedy comes from hyperbole and exaggeration. It's how you catch people off guard. And stereotypes, too, are stereotypes for a reason. They're patterns that people have noticed. And that's okay. Stereotypes are okay. Everybody, every group has their stereotype. And it's something we can joke about. It's something that we can, when you're picking on somebody, you know, as a goof for fun, which is another thing, another tangent, is that I don't think comedians are funny anymore. I don't think they get humor, a lot of these guys and gals, especially the gals. No, just kidding. Kinda. But I don't think they understand jokes anymore. They don't understand the exaggeration. Comedy is dark, and it's mean-spirited, too. Comedy is mostly mean. It is. But it also brings us together as a people. Don't you remember busting your friend's chops growing up? Busting balls? Super fun. And you go for things that, you know, you go for their weight. You go for their stupid nose, their terrible jawline, their bad haircut, what race they are. What stereotypes that race has. Because everybody has their thing. Everybody has the stuff that they can go to in order to point out the hilarity of life and what it is. And it brings us together. It doesn't pull us apart. If people could just take the joke, laugh it off, the world would be such a better place. There's, I don't know, there's so many examples of this. Comedy's macabre. It's dark at times. I don't like happy comedy. It's just, why do you need to point out the good? It's already good. You don't need to do anything with it. Comedy is, to me, pulling out the dark stuff, the bad stuff, and mocking it and making fun of it and taking the power away from it to turn it into a good thing, taking the negative and turning it into a positive. There's a lot of power in that, and that's why I've always had respect for comedians, because they're able to do that and laugh at themselves, laugh at the audience. Everybody gets made fun of. Nobody is safe, but it's all in good fun, even though it's mostly mean. And like I said, you just take it, you laugh it off, you have a good time. And I don't know. I don't watch any of the new comedians anymore. I'm afraid. All the ones that I see, that Indian dude from, what's that show that everybody likes? It's actually a really good show, but I haven't watched it in a couple seasons now. Silicon Valley, that Numaj Mendenhall, or whatever his name is, he just goes on Twitter and complains about the president. And it's like, dude, at least, like, try. I haven't watched this comedy, so maybe I'm missing the boat on this guy. But he just doesn't seem like a fun individual. I don't know. What do you think? 813-693-2124. Is comedy dead? Are comedians just not good at their jobs anymore? I wonder. Tom from Brinquility is coming up very shortly. Brinquilityfest.com. We're talking about the festival, how it got started. Any questions and concerns? 813-693-2124. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/HMB Radio. On Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man. I'm on Johnny B on Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. on 102.5 The Bone, followed by Stay Woke Monday through Friday at midnight with my friend Anna Hummel. Make sure you like that Facebook page, too, at Anna Hummel Radio. And it's just a big capital Stay Woke there. And you can check in on that. We post links and all those goodies up there. Make sure you follow the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Subscribe, leave a rating. That would be great if you did that. I really appreciate that. 5 stars would be ideal. But just, you know, you taking the time and giving your honest opinion, I'll take. So do that. I mean, it's just iTunes and Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, just search for HMB Radio Tampa Bay. And it'll pop right up. Click subscribe. You leave a rating while you're there. Everyone's happy. You can keep up to date with this show. And why wouldn't you want to? It's fun as hell. This podcast is brought to you by Tap House 61. That's taphouse61.com, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Go and grab a drink at the finest establishment in St. Pete. It's fancy as heck in there now. They got all wood and trivia nights on Wednesday night, all wood. They got all wood in there. It's freaking incredible. You won't believe it. It's unreal. They got a nice extended bar now. It's where I go when I finally get out of the house. That's Tap House 61, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Pete. And Truvy Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V as in Victory, Y, Salon and Spa.com. They're located right on 4th Street, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. You can make an appointment right online, Truvy Salon and Spa. If you ever wanted to get Botox or, you know, whatever else spa treatments do, Chrissy's your gal. Truvy Salon and Spa.com. And homemadepodcast.com. That's my side company that I have that I do a little media consulting there. I help people who want to start podcasts start those podcasts, and you should check it out. I'm doing the Creative Loafing Tampa podcast now. You can check that out if you're interested in hearing some of that work. cltampa.com/podcast. I'm not on it, so you won't have to hear me. Don't worry. And check it out. Homemade Podcasts with an S.com. 813-693-2124 is the number here. Tom from Brinquility Fest is coming up April 21st at the Safety Harbor Waterfront Park. There's lots of cool bands. He's going to tell me about them and what the festival, you know, what it's all about, what the bands are playing, and you can inform me of some of these bands, and it's going to be fun. Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio here on Radio St. Pete. Let's talk to Tom. Tom, what's happening, man? Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Will, appreciate you having me tonight.
It's a, here, pull that right up to your face there. You got to get real.
There we go.
Suck
how about
on that? Right, yes.
Get it right up in there.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. I love that. How's it going, man?
Good, good. Another beautiful day in Florida. Well, not so beautiful today. It was rainy, but
I kind of like days like this.
Yeah, it just makes me want to sleep all day, though, honestly.
That's true. Yeah. But I need the change of pace. I like when you get a little bit of everything. You get some tea storms in the summer, and then the sun's back out, dries it out real quick.
Absolutely. Those, like, quick little sun showers almost, where the sun is still there, but it's somehow raining at the same time.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It's just that's saying, why we're paradise.
You know, God just enjoying the mundaneness. I don't know. Anyway, we're talking Brinquility Fest today. Tom, how did Brinquility come to be?
Brinquility actually came to be. It was just a collaborative idea between me and my partners. Basically, we're huge music fans. We're huge, you know, Festy fans. We love the scene. We go to so many different shows every year. And we have so many different connections in the industry. And we decided, you know, we can do this. We should do this. Let's bring something new to the area. Let's bring a new scene. So we wanted to bring, you know, artists that haven't been heard. We wanted to bring a vibe that hasn't really been, you know, pushed too hard here. And we wanted to really bring the whole essence of a 3-day festival to the small little town for the single day, you know, really give that experience to the Tampa Bay area.
And what's the flavor, would you, of the festival, like what kind of music, and there's other things too, not just music. It's like a culture fest.
Absolutely. Like I said, we're definitely going for the experiences at the festival. We're definitely, we want everyone to be really into, you know, what's going on, not just the music. Obviously, come for the music. That is the biggest part. You know, you want to come see Beats Antique, Lettuce, Talk, you know, super jammy, super funky, you know, very, I guess you could say, Pink Floyd, Grateful Dead style vibes in that, you know, just
like
very
new hippies.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Because right. I got to be honest with you, I've never heard of any of these bands.
Yeah, a lot of there's, well, and that's the thing is there's those people that have never heard of them, and then there's those people that, you know, when they play anywhere within a 300-mile radius, they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely have those followers as well that love to come out, love their shows. And I tell you what, once you see it, you'll understand why. Because all these bands, you know, like the Grateful Dead and all those people that, you know, Fishes, you know, all those kinds of bands, they're known for the entire experience of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to do. So, yeah, there will be other things as well. Yoga out on the pier, which I hear, you know, you're looking forward to.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to be teaching my own class off in the corner somewhere, which yoga that I've made up. I haven't fully
wheel style
got everything down yet, but I'm working on it day to day, and I think by the time I'll be ready to participate. Yes.
I'm excited. I hope actually I have some time to get away to take that class.
It's going to be great. It's going to involve lots of beer drinking off to the side.
Ooh.
And finding new ways to drink the beer, maybe with your feet.
New positions, absolutely.
New positions, that's right.
Which position does it taste best in?
I don't know, and nobody knows yet, because I haven't quite figured out all these new poses, but I'm looking forward to experimenting myself with this beer you brought me here later,
mm-hmm.
and finding out new ways to consume these beverages and get healthy at the same time.
I think it cancels out if you're doing yoga while you're drinking the beer, like the carbs just kind of eliminate themselves
Absolutely.
Out of the body.
Although, is yoga a workout, do you think?
I guess that's like the age-old debate of, you know, is golf a sport, something like that. You know, I
golf's
feel like
activity, not
I feel,
a sport.
I feel like it's who you ask. You know, I feel like it's who you ask. I've taken yoga classes where it's, you know, very calm, almost, you know, falling asleep near the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've also had a couple yoga classes where halfway through I'm thinking, "Kill me, I can't do this anymore."
Yeah, it's what I've always kind of wanted to do it. Lots of friends do it. Girls do it. Good place to meet chicks, right? I would imagine.
I actually know a few buddies that have met girlfriends at yoga class.
I just feel like I would be. I don't know. I wouldn't have the proper attire. I'm going to go in cut-off jean shorts, and I think people would just expose me immediately for the fraud that I was. Even though I'm interested, but I think if I went there with a mission, I would just get called out immediately.
They'd either be thinking, this is the most amateur of amateurs to yoga class, or he has an alternative
motive.
Yeah,
right,
motive
exactly.
He's here for another reason.
How do you, so you said you had a lot of connections. What kind of connections do you have as far as putting together something like this?
Well, a lot of my team has actually really come from the festival background. Andrew, who is doing our social media, does it heavily for Sunset.
Okay.
So he does a lot of the socials for them. So, you know, we got very lucky that he was willing and able and had the free time to do, you know, our socials as well. So we got the experience there. Chris, who's my partner and GM, he is heavily rooted in the festival scene. Our connections with, you know, production managers from other festivals, artists themselves, tour managers, you know, his roster just, you know, goes for days. So, and since the, you know, the birth of this festival as well, we've been reached out to by a great number of, you know, other festival owners out there and other production managers and owners that just, you know, are praising and want to be a part of it and, you know, potentially work together in the future. So we're very optimistic about, you know, the future events. We do have food and wine festivals and, you know, future events planned, you know, after this, but in terms of, an annual Brainquility, keep an eye out for that as well. So
that's the plan. It's not just a one and done. You want to keep it as a tradition.
Oh, yeah. We want to household name this. We want to bring this back, whether to the same venue or not. We want to look for maybe multi-day, you know, maybe a camping festival. But we definitely want to, you know, take this to the next level next year as well.
Mm-hmm. And why Safety Harbor? Why was Safety Harbor the pick this time?
Actually, you know, we're locals. We're from Safety Harbor. We love the area. We love the venue. And it's once you see it, you'll understand why. It's just such a beautiful little area. It can handle, you know, that kind of event. So it just seemed perfect. You know, we could have gone to, you know, Curtis Hickson or one of the other parks, but we wanted to bring the local vibe as well. You know, Tampa's Tampa. They got the name for themselves, but we wanted to bring the locals in as well. So that's why Safety Harbor, you know, Dunedin Brewery, Crooked Thumb Brewery, Florida Cane Distillery, all local spirits that are coming to the event for the bars. So we really wanted to, you know, support the smaller local businesses and in that the smaller local town as well. And again, you know, we had a little bit of bias because it is our hometown. So
yeah, it's cool. I mean, so would you ideally, would you like to keep it if there is one next year? You want to keep it in Safety Harbor? Or?
I do like that field there. I don't know what the future of Safety Harbor holds, you know, especially at Waterfront, but I would love to, you know, have at least some form of event there. They have a lot of events that they have every year. So we got lucky actually with the time frame because it's this time of year, especially it's just back to back to back every weekend. But yeah, absolutely. We love the venue. We love the area. So we definitely want to bring at least some form of event. Like I said, if we go to a multi-day or a camper, unfortunately, Safety Harbor Waterfront probably couldn't accommodate a camping, you know, style festival. But again, it still has the grounds for many other styles of beautiful festivals there.
Mm-hmm. How do you even go about when you say, okay, I want to do this festival? What's step one when you go to think about it? And what unexpected things came up? What's the best thing that happened to you while doing this and some of the setbacks you had while planning this thing?
Well, one of the best things is, you know, I'm a people person. I love meeting new people. I love going out there and, you know, just experiencing what there is. So for me, one of the best things has been what I've been able to go and do. I mean, I've literally been to 3 music festivals this year on research and development company, you know, expense. So I don't think many people get that opportunity alone. Being able to be backstage, see the inner workings of things, that has just been a huge learning experience, just a lot of fun meeting all these people. And, you know, like I said, being backstage with the artists, who wouldn't want that?
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest setback is definitely budgeting, and that's what everyone told us too. They said, you know, definitely you got to have a good budgeter because there are unexpected costs, and we've been able to manage it pretty well, but it still, there's a lot of things that you don't think about at the beginning that creep up on you. But we did a lot of the research in the beginning. We reached out to a lot of our vendors, a lot of our connections, and we just made sure that we had everything in a row so that there wasn't too many surprises, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what was the what are the options as far as the festival? There's a VIP, there's general admission.
Absolutely. So we have VIP and general admission. Those are the two you know, ticket tiers, but VIP is 21 and up, and that comes with open bar until 3. It comes with a, you know, a print copy of the screen print poster that we're going to have available, which you can find on our Facebook. It has all the bands on it. If you've seen it, it's kind of the elephant coming through with the meteors crashing behind it.
Yep.
So very, very psychedelic, very, you know, you're going to love it. So we want everyone to be able to get those. Those will be available at merch. But you get the screen print poster, open bar till 3. You're going to have a private viewing area right up front of stage, a nice tented area with some fans and cooling systems in there, private bathrooms.
Oh, that's a big one.
The bathrooms are one of the biggest things because anyone who's been to a music festival or really any public event knows that porta potties are one of the most fun challenges of the day.
Well, I went to Bonnaroo once. This was probably 2012 or 2013, I want to say. And I was so... I'm always a light packer when I go to these things. When I went out of town this weekend, way underpacked, but I made it work, you know? So I underpacked, of course, and I relied on people that had went before, mm-hmm. and kind of like, well, I'll use your stuff if I need to.
Yep.
And just blame it on, well, I didn't know. I'd never been before, so first sorry, time, you yeah. know, I'll reimburse you or whatever. Mm-hmm. So my plan was initially that I'm just not going to poop the whole festival. I'll just hold it. You know, I'll eat lots of beef jerky and just kind of clog myself up. That's what I'll do. That's my plan. So we get out of the car. We set up the tents. My tent breaks immediately as soon as it's set up. And it rained, and I slept in a puddle all weekend. So pretty much right after we got out, unpacked, set the tent up, I have to go to the bathroom. I got to poop. There's no way around this. It's an emergency. So, but luckily it was first day and they weren't destroyed yet.
Yes. Or you got to go right after they clean them.
Yes. Which is pretty early in the morning, I believe.
Yeah, about 6 a.m. You got to be up for that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got up probably about 10 the next day. And yeah, I had to go again. It's just nature called.
Of course.
And it was a monstrous experience. Mm. I walk in. There's just pee everywhere, oh, no. All over the seat, all over the. You know how they have the toilet that's actually there, the seat, and then they have like the I don't know container
the
where
little,
the pee and
the,
poo
the
goes.
Mini, yeah, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then the little sides where they put like toilet paper and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's covered in pee too somehow. Mm. I don't know how, but it was, and I came back cursing the men, the dudes. There's a urinal to the side. Just
this little
in the
single
urinal.
Trough. Yeah.
Yeah. They got it off to the side there. And then my friend Heather goes, no, no, that's not the lady. Or that's not the men. That's us. That's the ladies. Because they're doing the hover.
Thing. They're not getting all the way in there.
And they're not getting all the way in. They're drunk and they're just peeing all over the place. Mm. And I was so disenfranchised with that comment. It really made me reevaluate because they say men are pigs. But it seems like women have their own crosses to bear.
It's just you know, kind of a, we're the scapegoats, just a misdirection.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I actually like to pee sitting down now.
It is a much cleaner, less splashy solution.
I feel like less of a man. I'm not going to lie when I sit. But yeah, I'm not peeing all over the place.
But the first step is admitting it, too, so...
Right.
You know.
I'm also really lazy, so if I don't have to clean the floor because there's pee all over it, mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to take advantage of that sit. Also, more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. But I understand the weakness. Like, have you ever went, like, oh, I got to poop, and then you just sit down on the bowl, and then it's just pee?
Yep.
And that was the first time I had experienced it. And then I was like, wow, this is just disheartening. And but then, you know what? I'm not going back now. I'm just going for the sitting the whole time.
Absolutely. And the struggles of guys can be real, too. You know, I don't think anyone understands the struggle until you're standing there in sandals in a urinal and you feel the splash from next door.
Yes, I remember that happening at McDinton's was the first mm-hmm. time in Soho, I guess that's where it is. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, wearing flip-flops.
It ruins your night.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I was like, I'm not peeing right now, and I'm feeling...
A
splashback.
A sprinkle.
Yes. And that's a terrible feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time to go after that.
Yeah. You just got to go home.
So,
but you're covering yourself all the time at urinals. I don't really like using urinals either because you're getting mm-hmm. the splashback all mm-hmm. the time. Even if it's your brand, you mm-hmm. still don't want it on there.
And even if it's so misty that you don't notice it,
right.
It's there.
Oh, it's definitely there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So VIP bathrooms would be a major plus.
Yes, and they're flushable and AC'd. So,
whoa.
Yeah, and so there's actually 10 stalls, so there'll be 5 girls and 5 guys, so there's plenty of them, too. It's not like everyone's fighting over 2 stalls and VIP for the bathrooms in there.
That's fantastic, I gotta tell you. So tell me about the bands. How did you go about picking the bands you wanted and going after them? What was that process like?
Well, you know, really it was a matter of genre. You know, I have a couple bias towards genres. This is one of them. You know, I do love EDM music as well. It's kind of, you know, reggae, EDM, you know, the jam scene. I pretty much listen to it all, but I wanted to go for something that I was, you know, going to be passionate about, especially, you know, for the first major festival. But we also didn't really want to try to compete with the other major festivals. You know, Reggae Rise Up just happened, you know,
right.
Huge reggae festival, staple name here, Sunset Music Festival a month after our festival. So, you know, we thought, you know, those scenes are kind of covered. Those bases are kind of covered. You know, we could do that, but let's bring, like we were saying, what isn't here. Let's bring what doesn't come around that often. So that's when we started looking towards, you know, the bands like the Widespread Panic, the Revivalists, the Lettuces, the Talks. And again, those all come, you know, from our loves, from our passions, from our music scene, and also from, you know, the knowledge that the people here, the people that we know and we meet, also love it and want to come see them.
Mm-hmm. And what's the best way to get tickets for the events? April 21st at the Safety Harbor Waterside.
Waterfront Park.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And it's right next to the Safety Harbor Resort and Spa, right?
It's actually right off the back of it.
Okay.
So, yep, right there on the waterfront. The spa sits right in front of the property, right on Bayshore and Main Street. And then the marinas down there as well. We'll have the marina park. We'll have the pier. You know, the whole venue will just be open roam with, you know, over 20 retail vendors to choose, you know, all sorts of different products from jewelry, clothing, art. We have over 10 live painters coming out there. We'll have muralists, glass blowing. So we'll have quite a bit over that whole venue, that whole waterfront park out there. We're doing a full takeover.
Yeah, and where do you get tickets? Just BrainquilityFest.com?
BrainquilityFest.com. They're also on Eventbrite, but the link is through BrainquilityFest.com, so you can pick up your tickets there, and it'll redirect you, and yeah, come on out. You're definitely not going to want to miss this, because everyone's going to be telling you about the year one that you didn't go to, and they did.
Yeah, I've talked to a few friends about it. They're like, oh my God, you're going to that? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Everyone's really excited about it that I've talked to. It sounds like it's going to be a blast.
Oh, and it's a first-year fest. That's one of our loves, too. You know, obviously, it being our fest is a whole nother thing. But first-year fest, you can't beat them. I've been to a few of them, and usually they're just, for some reason, they're just one of the greatest experiences. It's just, it's so new. You know, everything is just that new experience. It's before it gets too inflated, too overblown, so we love the first year, you know, vibes. We definitely want to bring, you know, a name so that people want to come and see us next year. We definitely want to bring back the same experiences, but like I said, take it to the next level as well. So you're going to want to see the birth of it so right. that you can understand next year as well.
Absolutely. So do you want to keep it, I mean, when you think about the big picture in the next 5 to 10 years, would you like to keep it in town, or would you like to maybe do like a traveling thing, or?
I could definitely see expanding to other cities as well, you know, bringing it outside. I don't know if we would do a traveling per se Branquility. We'd probably find kind of a home base and stick local. We love Tampa. Obviously, we're from here, born and raised. So we, you know, want to promote this town as well. But we also don't want the other people in Florida or, you know, even around the country to be kind of left out of the good music. So wherever the call for good music and good experiences, you'll definitely find us looking into it.
Staying in the same kind of genre, the jam band, EDM type genre?
We're going to definitely expand and branch out. Branquility, you know, is going to be the jam funk. We definitely want to keep that going. We definitely want to just expand on it. But again, you know, with the food and wine festivals and with the other festivals that we're planning as well, we're going to be hitting on all fronts.
Oh, yeah. What's tell me about those?
Well, we've already been in the works, like I said, of a food and wine festival. We're trying to plan right now is basically a more immersive experience. You know, there's the experiences where you can go out there and they have the food, they have the chefs, they let you taste their different samples. We're basically looking for almost a full-on festival that's kind of like an Emerald Live show. You're okay. immersed into it. And again, you know, bring in all the aspects of the music, the art. You know, we love the abstract art, you know, kind of Cirque du Soleil experiences as well. So we have Movement Sanctuary at Branquility, for example. They do the aerial silks, aerial yoga. They have, you know, the flame poi, all that kind of stuff. So we definitely love bringing the full experience. So like I said, keep an eye out for that as well. We're definitely still, you know, solidifying some venues for that one. But again, it'll be just as
be
big
in town
as Branquility.
Here.
Oh yeah. It'll be in the Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm. Nice. BranquilityFest.com. Tom, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I think that one beer already hit me.
No problem. I appreciate you having me, Will. I'm always available to come in. And like I said, I appreciate you guys, you know, being a part of Branquility, and look forward to that yoga class out there on Saturday.
Me too. I'm going to work on it right now, as a matter of fact. Tom, thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
All right, there we go. Tom from Branquility Fest, April 21st, 10:30 to 10 p.m. at the Safety Harbor Waterfront Park. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to have VIP tickets to give away. So check that. The Facebook, I believe, is what I'm going to do. You share the podcast, I'll pick a winner at random, and you'll go VIP to Branquility. So make sure you check that out. Facebook.com/HMB Radio. You can follow me on Twitter, home_made_man. Same thing on Instagram. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there. Radio STPETE on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We got them all locked down there. And I really appreciate you listening and checking out the show. 813-693-2124 is the way to get a hold of the program. You can leave comments and concerns and all that good stuff. Facebook, of course, hmbradio.com you can check out. That's got blog posts, podcasts, the whole lot there. And what else? What else? Is that it? Thank you, Tap House 61. Thank you, True V Salon and Spa. Thank you, HomemadePodcasts.com. Check out the Creative Loafing Tampa Bay podcast, cltampa.com/podcast. I produce that. So check it out if you're interested in podcasting. I can help. HomemadePodcasts.com. Subscribe to this one, HMB Radio Tampa Bay, in your iTunes, Google Play Store. Hit subscribe. Give a rating while you're there. I'd really appreciate it. If you want stickers, I still have some. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com with your address. I'll send some out for you. And get those VIP tickets to Brainquility, won't you? You should. Absolutely. My name is Will Koontz. This has been The Homemade Broadcast. This has been HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. Stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, and the Indie Circuit after that. If you're listening on podcast, thanks a lot. Tell a friend, and I will talk to you next week. Have a great one. Bye-bye.